It's a joy for me to be here with you today, and Sherry and I are just really excited about meeting some new families, new people. That's the joy of being retired, really, and being asked to go to different churches. Pastor Jay, you get to meet new people that you really don't know, and so it's a joy to be here with you. As the bio says, we just finished our 14-month interim at Shelbyville, Illinois, and what a wonderful group of people they are. And I'm sure you're the same. As you know, this church has a special significance to me. In 1977, I knelt right here and was ordained. But way back when, so that puts me at 72, which is what I am. And it was that room back here behind the sanctuary, and I think it was that first little office area that Dr. Greathouse examined me, I would say, questioned me about what I believe, what I knew about the Church of the Nazarene, and what I knew about holiness. And so it's really kind of unique to be able to come and preach from this pulpit instead of doing what it was so many years ago. At the time I was ordained here, your pastor was Dale Horton, some years ago. Remember that? I'm sure some of you do. I did not know your pastor, Fred Prince, very well, because by the time I was getting close to my retirement, we just hadn't had acquaintance that often. But I know what it means to retire. I know what it means to have a transition time. And that's where you are. You're in a transition time. And just be faithful to God, trust Him, and He will take care of things. He really will. How many believe that? Say amen. Today we're going to look in the Old Testament in Isaiah 35. And we're talking about, as your video showed and your songs have shared this morning, we're talking about joy. And Jesus is the joy of living. How many believe that? Say amen. Isaiah 35 is going to be the background for the sermon this morning. And it's an Old Testament passage, but it has great power and great meaning. And so let's look at it together. I'm going to read it from the NIV, from my Bible. If you have your Bible, you can open it. If not, I think it may be on the screen this morning, so just follow along. Isaiah 35, beginning at verse 1. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord and the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be open and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, and the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. What a wonderful promise that is. Isn't it great to hear the word of God this morning? Let's pray just a word, shall we? Our Father, as we have come to this part of the service this morning, we ask that your Holy Spirit would speak to us through your word. and through your servant. May these lips of clay speak your truth, that your word would be received with gladness and joy, and that by receiving it, it would help us to become more like Jesus in our walk day by day. May your will be done, and your name glorified, honored, and praised. And we'll give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. It is hard to believe, I think, anyway, for me, that summer was just a few months ago. And here it is, almost Christmas. How many feel the same way? It's getting very close. It's almost around the corner, so to speak. A few years ago, I found this cartoon character expressing some of the anxiety that comes around this time of year. The cartoon character was Kathy, and she expressed the anxiety many of us feel about this time of year. She says to her boss, "My left brain is making lists of people I haven't sent cards to yet. My right brain is at the craft store thinking up creative gifts I could make before Christmas. My nerves are at the mall, worrying whether I should have gotten the other necktie for my dad. My stomach is still at last night's party, begging for more Christmas cookies. My heart is stuck in traffic somewhere between my mother's house, my boyfriend's house, and the adorable man I saw at the post office." Her boss asks, "What is it you want, Kathy?" Kathy replies, "May what's left of me sneak home early and take a nap." Some of us may be feeling about the same way about that frenzy, that frazzled. Isn't it wonderful to take just a few moments to collect ourselves and to enter in on the majesty of the Christmas message? Our theme for this day is joy. And a lot of people are looking for it and searching for it, but they're not finding it. Comedian Dom DeLuise tells about one of the best Christmas gifts he ever received. He says that there was a time when nothing made him laugh. Everything was wrong. Life was hopeless, and I was feeling useless. When his son asked what he wanted for Christmas, DeLuise replied, "Happiness, and you can't give it to me." On Christmas Day, his son handed him a piece of cardboard with the word, in capital letters, "Happiness," written on it. "You see, Dad," he said, "I can give you happiness." And at that moment, DeLuise's depression was shattered. It is amazing how children can bring us happiness and joy. That's what Christmas is really all about. We say that Christmas is for children, and that perhaps is untrue. A child opening with glee his or her new toy from Santa does not feel nearly the same happiness as a mom and dad feel watching that child open that new present. I remember some years ago the joy on my oldest son's heart when he received that new bicycle. It was just exciting to watch him climb up on there in that living room around the tree and look at that bicycle. So I think sometimes mom and dads feel just as much joy, if not more, than a child does. Children bring us joy, whether they are ours or someone else's. But there's one child that has brought more joy into more people's lives than any other. He is the Christ child of Bethlehem. And Isaiah the prophet anticipated what his coming would mean when he writes, The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Jesus really is the joy of living. He is the reason for this season. He is the true light of Christmas and peace to a troubled world. What is there about this coming of the Christ child that brings joy into our world? I just want to point out three things this morning briefly. The first one is this. Christ's coming reminds us that there is a vertical dimension to life. A vertical dimension to life. There is more to life than what we have. Illustration of that is found in a little comic strip called For Better or Worse. Adolescent Michael looks at the tree with all of its presents around it and thinks, I wonder what I'm going to get. I ask for videotapes, laser tag, track pants, and a camera. Grandpa comes in with a huge smile. As Michael and he stand together in front of the tree, he says, You know, Mike, we've got it all. We've got our health, our home, a warm fire, good food, and family. Only a fool could ask for more. But deep in our hearts, we yearn to believe that there is something more to life than this. Many people could list the things that have given, that they have been given, that have been blessed with from this world. Yet they are still not enough. Many people possess the things of this world but have a deep emptiness inside their hearts. Many will ignore church during the year. But at Christmas time, the carols remind them that there is a vertical dimension to life. That though our health deserts us and though we lose our loved ones to death, and even our homes burned down, there is still a reason to go on, because from out of the deepest recesses of eternity, God has sent His own Son into this world. You know, Christmas is a difficult time for some, especially when they lose someone during the holidays. It's not as much joy for them when this holiday comes around. But even in the midst of all that pain, there is still joy because Christ came into the world. Aren't you glad? Though our health would desert us, though our homes burn down, though we suffer loss, there is still the promise of God's eternal Son. We need from time to time a reminder of eternity, that there is more than rocks and trees and houses and clothes and cars and even our physical bodies. Isaiah said, the people will rejoice because the glory of the Lord would be revealed. Christmas reminds us that there is a vertical dimension to life. And from the portals of heaven, God announced to the world His love and care in the birth of the Christ child. Though knowing Christ and through knowing Christ, we are drawn heavenward. Now there's a second dimension or a second thought that comes to me about this particular day. Christ coming into the world reminds us that His joy is for all people, everyone. A disappointed first grader trudged up the front path. I'm to be one of the children at the manger in the Christmas play, she announced glumly. That's wonderful. Why so sad? Asked her mother. She said, I wanted to be an angel. They're the ones that sing the song of rejoicing. Then she added, I can't rejoice unless I am an angel. Well, you don't have to be an angel to rejoice in the coming of the Christ child. The whole world rejoices because the Christ child is redemption from sin. God is not like Santa. He loves us whether we are good or whether we are not so good. He desires that we shall be good, but he loves us with a love that even sin cannot defeat. That's okay, you can clap. More importantly, God's acceptance is not something we can earn. I think sometimes the world believes that. Oh, if I'm just good enough, or if I just do certain things, or if I just give money to the Salvation Army or to a certain charity regularly, that will give me a place on the roll of heaven's entrance. But the Word says, no one is good but God. No one's good enough. Not even Mike Tapscott's good enough. Mike Tapscott had to do the very same thing that many of you have done. Come to the foot of the cross and kneel before the Savior and admit his sin and receive Christ as Savior. It's the only way. There are many roads, but there's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. God sent his Son into the world as a helpless infant, and that is how we come to God, helpless. In no way can we measure up to the absolute perfection of a holy God. Isaiah wrote, all my righteousness as filthy rags before him. But you see, the secret is this. You don't have to measure up to the holy God. God has sent his Son into the world, and the acceptance of Christ into the world, that through him we might become what he desires us to be. Amen. He's the life changer. He's the one that can make us what he wants us to be. He's the only one. There is no other. And I want to tell you this morning that I joyfully celebrate the fact that Jesus came. He came not just for me, but for you and you and you. And for all God's people in this world. And we really are God's people, whether we know it or not, we are his. He created us. Amen. He made it possible for us to breathe and to walk and to work and to live. The coming of Christ is the miracle of God's grace. And the acceptance of Christ into our hearts, we can realize the greatness and the scope of God's love. And he loves us more than we can imagine. The third thing, the final thought. Christ's coming reminds us that the greatest joy comes when we open our hearts and receive him as Savior and Lord. It's not about what I receive for Christmas. It's not about what I give for Christmas. It's not about just saying Merry Christmas. It's really about who I know and how he knows me. Is that right? What do you know of Jesus today? How do you relate to this Christ child that came? How is your spiritual walk this morning? Is it better today than it was yesterday? according to an old legend, when the Magi were following the star of Bethlehem, they came to the house of a certain woman. And they said to her, "Come with us. We have seen his star in the east, and we are going to worship him." "Oh," she said, I would love to go. I heard that he would be coming one day, and I've been looking forward to it. I really have. But I can't come right now. You see, I must set my house in order. I must clean it and get it ready and do whatever is necessary. Then I will follow you and find him." But when her work was done, the wise men were out of sight. The star shone no more in the heavens, and she never saw Jesus. That can happen to us. We can get so busy with life, so busy with the celebration of Christmas, we can miss the star, miss seeing Jesus, miss connecting with him. And folks, if you don't connect with Jesus in Christmas, you don't know Christmas. Because Christmas is all about him. I could say amen. I could say hallelujah at that, because that's true. If you don't know Jesus at Christmas, then Christmas is not really Christmas to you. It's just a holiday passing by, like Target and all those other places. Happy holidays, season greetings. There's no Merry Christmas, because they've made it something to buy or something to sell. And this Christmas, this joyful celebration, is about Christ and his coming into the world. The gift God has given to the world brings light and peace and joy and celebration and worship and all of those things. And the promise of life redeemed by the power of God's grace through Christ. This gift is ours. It's our special gift from God to receive freely without condition. We don't have to sign a form or fill out an affidavit or fill out a sales receipt or do anything like that. All we have to do is present ourselves as we are, and Christ takes care of the rest. I said one time at Shelbyville, just not recently, that it's as simple as ABC to receive Christ. It really is. It really is that simple. But so many of us make it so difficult. It's not that difficult to say, "Jesus, I am a sinner, I need a Savior, and I confess my sin, and I receive you as Lord of my life." It's not so difficult to say that, but we make it difficult because we think we have to change before we can receive him. And on that one Sunday morning when I did that, these hands went up all over the sanctuary. I've never heard that before. Was that a cell phone? It was? Well, I hope the train makes its destination. Well, that changed the course of this, didn't it? All right. Well, there's a great old hymn that reminds me of this day. And some of us who are older will know it. Some of us who are younger may not. It just says, "Jesus is the joy of living. He's the King of life to me. Unto Him my all I'm giving, His forevermore to be. I will do what He commands me. Anywhere He leads, I'll go. Jesus is the joy of living. He's the dearest friend I know. How many believe that this morning? Say amen. If you're struggling with Christmas, you don't have to. Just rest on Jesus. Have joy in Him. Not in the things around you and not in the celebration you see in the stores and all the places, but just celebrate in Jesus and you will discover the true, lasting, eternal meaning of what Christmas is all about. Amen. Let's pray just a word. Our Father, we thank You today for Your blessings and for all that You do for us. We know that these are not brand new words. These words have been spoken before about celebrating Christmas. We're not bringing anything brand new and life-shaking or earth-shaking. We're just saying, Lord, that we're here today not to celebrate all the things that come along at this holiday season, the shopping, the celebrations, the parties, and so on. What we're here to say, Lord, is that we know Christmas is because of Jesus. Christ coming into the world reminds us that we have this vertical dimension. It reminds us that the joy is for all people. It reminds us that the true joy of Christmas begins in our heart when we realize that Jesus is our Savior and Lord. Now, Father, we pray that You will take these words and that You will apply them as You will, according to Your purpose, and that they will not return to You void today. And may You be glorified, honored, praised, lifted up, adored, and worshiped, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen.